This is HPR episode 1975 entitled, Interview with an Android Developer. It is hosted by Sigflup, and is about 14 minutes long. The summary is, Sigflup here, and holy crud, it turns out my brother-in-law is an Android developer.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Everyone, we're here with Dylan, Android developer. Dylan, whose name, last name, shall remain nameless. How you doing, Dylan?
Doing all right.
So you're into Android development for your job, right?
Yeah, I've been doing it, I guess, professionally for about 3 years and maybe 4 years total.
Oh my goodness, it's been 4 years?
Yeah, I guess so.
The thing I like to ask people when it comes to any of these interviews is how you got into computers in the first place.
Oh man, I did. I was not that into computers until I took a class in college where we basically did like microcontroller programming and like breadboard prototyping. And so you had to take a microchip, put it on a breadboard, like build the power supply for it, and all the peripheral things you wanted it to do, and then write C programs for it.
Oh, okay.
So that was like a lot of diving into data sheets to learn how things work. Yeah. Sort of like really going under the hood and figuring stuff out. And that's where I think the moment I really fell in love with it was when I learned how to kind of make it talk to like a PC, like the microcontroller, and then it was like, oh geez, I could do like anything now.
Through serial, I take it?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
That was just kind of one of those like things that was always magic to me, and then suddenly I could do it, and everything seemed possible.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was the Perl port that I used to interface things with. Which is, it's really empowering because the computer is connected to it, and with the computer you can do pretty much anything, right? And, it wasn't the basic stamp. You said it was in C, so it can't be the basic stamp.
Yeah, so it was actually just like, it was a microchip, like, PIC.
That was a PIC?
Yep.
All right,
and
cool.
Then we had like a, I can't remember the, we did basically a C compiler.
Keil, probably, or something like that.
I can't remember, it was like, I think it was like an IDE as well that our professor or something had got for us, so
okay, cool.
We just had that, and then like a five-wire thing that like load your programs on. And
So did you start programming computers then, or?
I guess, yeah, that was like my first real.
Cool, so you were introduced with C.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Basically, I think I'd taken like some C, C++ class before, but never like really. Wasn't like super relevant to what I was studying at the time. I was doing mechanical engineering, and it seemed like I'll never use programming. So,
yeah, I'm very much a software junkie. So I'm not so much with the hardware, but I still think hardware is rather interesting. So I've heard through the grapevine that you won this Red Bull Challenge, or is it?
Yeah, so that was like, I think that was about 5 years ago as well.
Oh yeah,
something like that. Jeez,
time flies.
I know, but yeah, that was fun. That was like a hackathon put on by Red Bull, where basically had 72 hours to do a build based around some theme that you didn't learn until like the day of the build.
Yeah.
And so you had a team of four people and just sort of like drank a lot of caffeine and worked a lot.
There you go. Yeah. So what got you into Android development?
So I'm trying to think. Well, sort of like, I really liked doing like the microcontroller programming, but it was always like, oh, it'd be kind of cool if I had like a, you know, like a touchscreen input or like a screen, or like, oh, now I want to connect to the internet. And that was like, essentially, that was like what a smartphone was all that stuff packaged for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had a friend that was doing iPhone and Android development, and I didn't own a Mac at the time, so you couldn't do iPhone programming really without one or without jumping through some hoops. So I decided to like bought an Android phone so that I could program it, and then just sort of slowly learn by hacking on it and making tons of mistakes. So
cool, that's awesome. So do you use an IDE like Eclipse or something like that?
I use Android Studio.
Okay. That's pretty wicked.
Yeah, I started out in Eclipse, and then my first like professional job, they were using like the very first version of Android Studio.
I see.
It's not done yet.
Oh, so, do you use, out of curiosity, your development cycle, your iterations, you know, testing iterations? Do you use the emulator or do you use actual hardware?
I generally generally use hardware. I think the emulator is way better than it used to be, and but in my head, it's not even.
Yep.
So
same with me.
So yeah, I don't do that. But yeah, so I basically have like I use a Nexus 5. I just like almost always just use that sort of stock Android, and then usually have like some older Samsungs lying around because they'll generally have some like extra button or like extra feature that like normal Android phones don't have, and that'll eventually throw you off. So I usually have like an old like a 4.0 version or something of Android running on like an old slow Samsung phone, and sort of use that as my baseline sort of poor performance phone.
Yeah, I see. I'm yet to. My father has. He bought my S2, my Galaxy S2, so I'm gonna buy it back from him. And he's that. Right now, I use a Note 3 and the Samsung S6 Edge Plus for development.
Nice.
And one thing I've noticed is the Note 3 is fine without having a precision marker, I guess, in GLSL. Where you need a precision, like, this floating points are high precision, something like that. So that was one thing. I'm finding a lot of my apps don't work on that, what you have in your hand right now.
Interesting.
The Galaxy S6 Edge Plus. So,
Now, Zach, because, like, you're doing a lot of stuff not in Java land, right?
Yep. Okay. I do very little in Java land. So you do a lot in Java, right?
Yeah, that's basically it. I have a little experience, like, one of the company I worked for has used like sort of like the JNI before to like, so you had a few different like methods in C that would collect stuff from like the SysFS files of whatever device you're running on, and eventually we ported that to Java because like I don't think we needed, I don't know if there actually was a performance gain there. It was sort of a legacy thing that was around, and like
it's, the Java is so fast right now, it's pretty negligible the performance increase when it comes to running something in native,
and I'm not sure like who like We kept running into, like, I'd get, like, seg faults randomly.
Yeah, and it was like, the seg faults.
It seemed to, like, never really be reproducible, and it was like, this seems like more of a hassle than it's worth, so.
Yeah, C and C++ programs are a little bit difficult to debug, especially when they're on a device. Do you just use log, like the log?
For debugging.
For debugging, or do you use anything else?
Yeah, usually it is just, like, log.i or whatever. And
log.v, I think, is...
For debug, right? Yeah. So, mostly do that, and that'll kind of help you hunt stuff down. But
so, what are you currently doing? And if you maybe have no disclosure agreement here, but
oh no, I'm currently I work for a company that's I write an Android SDK for them, and one thing that they figured out how to do is they sort of like made a heat transfer model around like Android phones, different models of Android phones, and so we can essentially use the thermocouple inside of the battery in the phone to predict the ambient temperature around the phone, so you can watch.
That's lead.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty hardcore. So you essentially, like, every model of phone, you need to run through this, like, calibration cycle and find some sort of, like, heat transfer constants. But then, we essentially have can, like, run the SDK on any device. It'll, like, call to our servers to get a calibration file if you have one, if we've made one, and then it'll, run that and run temperature predictions. And it's sort of like remotely controllable. Like you can configure some different things remotely. Like, cool. So it's, so like a customer sort of has a portal that they can, you know, this is like how many times I want to take temperature per hour, or, you know, I want to turn it off completely, or things like that.
It's interesting.
And that's been a good, I'd never written like a distributable like SDK before. So that was like a learning experience for how to do that on Android. Also, you know, just like keeping like trying to keep really good documentation for once, since like someone actually has to like understand all this public API for it, and so that's been all like sort of stuff I never had to do before, because I was basically for a while I was writing just working at dev shop, so you're
Yeah.
A lot of that times that documentation doesn't need to be there because it's sort of a quickly spinning off an app for someone.
Yeah. I forget the sound, the noise here. It's actually Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So everyone's being merry.
Everyone's being merry, indeed. So you don't want me asking about it. You had a bug in
I did.
A customer-facing piece of code.
Yep, so I shipped one of the first versions of our SDK out to a customer. We did a lot of testing. They did a lot of testing. And bug didn't pop up, but essentially I had a bug in my SQLite upgrade code that missing a space character, a classic story, and I didn't have automated testing set up, so it was like a code path I never ran, and I sort of like neglected to think about running this, and the upgrade path got run, and I crashed on several devices, and
jeez.
It was a good learning experience. Something I won't do again. Learn some things from it. And
do you a lot of testing or?
Yeah, it's like mostly manual. I am sort of just like wrapping my head around doing like unit testing and stuff for Android. I think in general, sort of what I've learned is that a lot of it is like an architecture decision to do like using like dependency injection to make like easily testable and swappable classes and stuff like that. So. That's kind of my next task for this SDK in the next like month or so will be to sort of see how much test coverage we can get. And, you know, there's like places where that's super useful, like in like a database, so kind of your CRUD code for a database. Like, it'd be really nice to have that testable because I've certainly introduced really like bugs that I have not found for a long time because I decided to start like sorting results by like ascending order instead of descending order or something like that, and not like changing the rest of the code to accommodate that. So
I see. So what was the first Android program that you wrote?
My first project was just like a for fun thing, but I wanted to make like been getting into running at the time and wanted to make like a running tracker app. So I was essentially like, you needed to be able to sort of like start GPS, like record your GPS coordinates, and sort of keep those in some sort of collection and then sort of save your route. So you could see on like a Google map when you were done, like the route that you would run, and then collect the statistics like time and average speed, stuff like that. It was just kind of a for fun project, but I learned a lot of like UI stuff, learned how to like work with some of like the Android sensor APIs. Just like learned GPS, as it turns out, can sometimes be a little bit difficult to debug because you want to be like moving around to like get a new, make sure your real location is changing, and you have power issues that can crop up if you're like using it too heavily or using more accuracy than you really need, kind of. And this was like a few years ago, so this was before like Google Play Services location APIs, which is once you get it set up is like, I think in general, a little easier to use and can save you some power. But
all right, cool. I think we're going to go back to our Christmas duties.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, of course. You take care.
All right. Later.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.